It's early open source as Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am Adam A. Early Donaldson and of Guelph Politico, and this is...
Scott Hertz making sure his phone is off because it keeps tinkling about Trump every 2 minutes or something. Trump. But we're not talking about him.
No, forget Trump.
Until June 9th. Is that
sure.
right?
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's making it really hard, though.
Yeah. Indeed.
Open Source is a CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here every Thursday at 4:30 p.m., usually at 5 p.m., but 4:30 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen, and you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast from Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today we're going to continue with our local candidate interviews for the provincial election. A bit later we will welcome Ontario Party candidate Thomas Mooney. And then after that we will have the None of the Above Party candidate Paul Taylor. But first, we are pleased to welcome Agnieszka Mielniers, a.k.a. Aggie. I'm not sure that's an also known as, but we'll call you Aggie.
Aggie works.
Aggie works. And she is the Guelph's NDP candidate. And to begin with... Full disclosure, I have pictures of Aggie torturing a guy. But it was on a movie set. It was on a movie set.
That was when I was 17 or 18?
Yeah.
All the dirt's coming out now.
All the dirt's coming out. But yeah, the movie's called If a Tree Falls, and it was a local movie by a local filmmaker.
Is it on
filmmaker.
YouTube, by the way?
No, I don't even know if you can get a copy of it anymore.
They like,
have to
thank
do
God.
A second printing.
No,
hey,
it was fun.
Support local.
Right on.
Support local, yes, okay. Exactly. So Aggie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are a young, which I think is much needed and much appreciated. So talk a little about why you wanted to get into politics and why you're running and why the NDP?
Sure. I am 28 years old and I decided to run because I felt that after years of working on political projects, particularly in theater and being very involved in political activism in theater, I felt that I was having a hard time sort of marrying the two. And I felt that I was becoming more politically engaged and I wanted to start to explore that and push myself there. So I went and I had actually a coffee with Andrew Seagram, the former federal candidate. And during that time, he actually asked me to run. And at first I was taken aback and I thought that maybe I should spend a little bit more time in the riding association. But as I thought about it and had more conversations with him, I realized that sometimes it does take just somebody asking you to run mm-hmm. and to decide to step forward. So it's been a wild ride. I feel with each day I grow with more confidence. And more experience, certainly knocking at the doors and talking to people is one of the most beneficial and best things a young candidate can do, or any candidate can do, of course. So I feel that it's been a very positive overall experience, and I feel that it's brought out a side of me that's always been Aggie in a way, but it's just that this is now has come to the forefront and it feels great, to be honest. Like, and why the NDP? For me, the NDP has always been the political party that I was most interested in. I mean, I think briefly in high school, I was an anarchist.
Who isn't?
Yeah, everyone right? in high school is an anarchist. True
and then I grew up in high school when I was in school, Jack Layton was the guy and he was running and it was exciting. And he had this powerful engagement with young people and a message that really resonated all the way down to my 17-year-old self. So I jumped on board and I believe that it's a party that consistently wants to lift barriers, consistently addresses concerns of people who have had less of a voice in politics. And I just feel that they always step up to fight for the little guy or to fight for what is best for everyone and have as much of a holistic kind of holistic sort of approach as possible. Sorry, smack your laptop.
No worries.
Speaking with my hands.
No, it's a common affliction in the business, especially on radio where no one can see. So your youth has not been a barrier when people like you know, you don't have the life experience. You're not even 30. It's nothing like that.
I wish I could say that was the case. Unfortunately, ageism is a thing. And it can be difficult. It can be difficult when your voice is, an opinion is disregarded because people don't want to listen to a 28-year-old. I like to say that experience can come in many different ways, and living through those cuts and being directly affected by them throughout my entire education, particularly in high school and university, that counts as an experience, and it also counts as a powerful force of motivation to speak up on these issues and to run. So I feel that disregarding that, not giving me the opportunity to speak on that behalf it's unfair.
Your party has certainly been the beneficiary, I think, of concerns about the other two major parties in the last few days. When you're going door to door and you're talking to people, I think one of the barriers for NDP has been for the last several years is people have a very vivid or maybe inflated memory of what Bob Rae did. And you had a very good retort the other day at the chamber debate. You said you're not going to comment on a liberal.
It was a bit sassy.
It was a bit sassy, but that's good. So, you know, is your feeling that that legacy is kind of behind the NDP and that, you know, people are willing to look orange again?
Oh, yes. I feel I've not had one person bring up Bob Rae at the door.
Okay.
People mostly have concerns about hydro. They have concerns about healthcare, particularly in Guelph. The really long waits in the emergency room is something that comes up quite frequently, as well as affordable childcare as well is an issue that I've heard. People are concerned about the environment. They're concerned about water. But the positive element of all of this is I have a response for all of these questions and can address these concerns. We have, even today, I had a day full of meetings on our pharmacare and dental care platforms as well. So I think that the majority of the population is forward thinking and they just want to know, what's your plan? What are you going to do for Ontario? How are you going to change things? How are you going to address the funding freezes and cuts? How are you going to help me make my life more affordable? I feel Bob Rae only comes up once in a while in a debate, to be honest. And it's just, like I've said, Andrea has 9 years of experience in this position, and she's come forward and shown a leader full of hope and strength and positivity, which I think is so important in something like a campaign as important and big and stressful as this, to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare is always one of the top five, I would say, very close to the top always. And your party and yourself are the only ones that have been using the phrase hallway medicine.
Yes.
Which is something that we probably all have experience with, but past few years I have had. I'm curious as to how we're going to get people out of the hallways under an NDP government. What's the plan?
We believe there's a number of ways to do this. Right now, what's very much so lacking is a comprehensive dental strategy. So we're having people end up in emergency rooms because they have terrible tooth pain, they need antibiotics, or they need some sort of painkiller in order to deal with oral pain. This costs about $35 million a year and definitely takes seats up in the emergency room. So addressing concerns and issues within the population, I believe, will help to alleviate the situation, as well as relying on hospitals for long-term senior care as well is another concern. So this is why we want to make 2,000 beds available to work with community health centers, long-term care facilities, that also provide medical facilities as well, such as St. Joseph's, and as well as with the Guelph General Hospital, to come with a comprehensive strategy of how we can ease how many beds are the capacity situation mm-hmm. in Guelph General. But there are ways to address this and to alleviate the situation that I think need to be first done and put forward as a strategy, and then see how that's working. I know that the issue of a second hospital, of course, is a very passionate one in Guelph, but addressing these issues first, I think, would be great in reducing that hallway medicine. As Andrea has said, she's committed to ending it. So we are going to do everything and whatever we can, working with the health community to do so.
It's also hard because the idea of a new hospital or a second hospital is, you know, probably, what, 10 years away. If we got down to it tomorrow, it's, you know, it's not the easy solution, I guess, is to say that there's going to have to be some kind of, you know, well-coordinated effort between all the different sectors you're talking about in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to listen to those sectors first, because they also have great ideas on how to reduce the issue of capacity in our healthcare system in Guelph.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned hydro, and we've talked about this on the show before, and it's such a tough issue to wrap your head around. And I asked Mike this question because at the social justice debate, you had said that the NDP, part of the NDP plan is to buy back the privatized shares of Hydro One.
Yes.
And Mike said, oh, I wish we could promise that. And so I'll rephrase this to you in the similar way I phrased it to Mike, which is he being maybe pessimistic about you know, how that can be done, or are you maybe being too optimistic, you being the royal you as the NDP, in terms of, you know, is that going to be possible to just, you know, kind of undo that through just, you know, buying back the shares?
It's a good plan. It's a costed plan. It's not a plan that we pulled out last minute to appeal to voters. And I really want to stress that. This was a platform that we had rolled out maybe last year. It's been available on the Ontario NDP website for quite some time. And I believe that it is a long-term strategy, and that might be a turnoff for people in some ways. But at the same time, I think it's a far more effective strategy than, say, taking out a second mortgage to temporarily lower bills, which is not a good long-term plan. The most positive aspect of buying back Hydro One is it would take about 6 years, and once it is done, that profit would be going back straight into the economy. So we're looking at a couple $1 billion available. The NDP is very vocal and aware that we need to start thinking of other ways of generating power as well and transitioning to a green economy. And we believe that bringing back Hydro One as a public service and all of that infrastructure, as well as the profit, that is the first step towards beginning that transition.
How hard is it to get your head around the hydro stuff?
It's pretty tough. I think, and you know what, you can't be an expert in everything. You can do your best. You can do your best, and I believe that what we want from our politicians is to be able to give us answers and to have our best interests in mind. And I believe that this plan is in the best interest for the public for the future. I certainly believe that essential services such as hydro need to be public, mm-hmm. because when you enter these public-private partnerships, we're getting what we're seeing now, which is the hydro board giving itself a $25,000 raise each member. Or, the salary of $6 million and an increase on bills of about 300%. So it's not working. So let's make it work again how it used to. And 80% of Ontarians were against that sell-off as well. So
very true. Let's move on to another issue. I think both the NDP and the Greens have promised to make two-day both-way GO trains more of a priority. My question is, we're laughing already. My question is, what can an NDP government do that can make it faster than what the Liberals are doing, what the Liberals have promised? Because it's just from what I understand, it's more of an issue of the track more than a willingness of just putting trains on the track. That it's an infrastructure problem. It's not so much of a matter of will, because I think the will is there.
Yeah, so of course, being the NDP and believing firmly that public services are essential and needed, that's why we have a large amount of money set aside to put into public infrastructure. And that's, we want to work with our municipalities, but we also want to be putting this forward towards doing working and building better transit. So especially on our southwestern platform, mm-hmm. We recognize the need on three different levels. So one, we need better inner city transit, and mm-hmm. we recognize that as well, and we understand how important that is, because we 2.5 hours to get to Kitchener from Guelph by transit is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. It's only 25-30 minutes away by car. And that is really unfair to those who rely on transit mm-hmm. To get there. And we also recognize that two-day all-way go. Two-day all-way go. That's so funny. Apparently every candidate said it. two-way all-day go.
We should just shorten it to more trains.
Yeah, more trains is so, it's so necessary. And not only in the sense of, yes, commuting to work, but also we have to recognize that a lot of people, there are specialized healthcare facilities that residents of Guelph sometimes need to use and to access in Toronto. And when you're sick and you have to go first thing in the morning, go to your appointment at 10, and then the entire day wait to go home, it's unfair.
Yeah.
So it's not just people commuting 9 to 5. There are many other different reasons why people use transit and need to get to Toronto, need to get to Kitchener or Waterloo, and we need to have that access. So yes, investing in that is very important to us, and Catherine Fife has been very loud about that at Queen's Park already. And
friend of the show, Catherine Fife.
Yeah. So we feel strong on that strategy, but we also recognize that we need to better invest in transit municipally as well, which is why we want to increase operating costs and pay that 50%, which is something that provinces used to do. But with all the downloading of responsibilities onto municipalities from the provincial government, things like that have been lost. So we want to better support our municipalities by making those kinds of investments in transit and infrastructure. We recognize that we're going to need to go into these negotiations with who owns the tracks, with good intentions, and really work to push a resolution. And that might take some time, but we are willing to fully invest in it and to find that solution and to make that negotiation happen. It's kind of feels like the buck is starting to just be passed to this idea of like high-speed light rail, and we want a solution. And
yeah,
we'll do everything that we can to make that solution happen.
I think I asked Premier Wynne this when I got a chance to interview her at the OGRA convention, that, you know, it's, you know, we keep hearing every year that it's coming. And then I asked her about whether, you know, the province's reach has exceeded its grasp. And, you know, she was quite... She's quite good at railing off the facts and figures off the top of her head. But, you know, the regional transit piece is so key, because I was talking to somebody from the Home Builders Association. They want to send, you know, apprentices to, you know, college and things to, you know, to master their craft. And they desperately need the workers. But it's hard when you don't have a car to get to campuses in Kitchener-Waterloo.
Yeah, it's very true. And it is. It's a huge barrier to students as well. It's an issue that the University of Guelph has brought up. Too, because to save money, a lot of students commute. Mm-hmm. So they have to build their schedules around the schedules of the buses, and that's subject to change. So by the time the deadline passes for picking your classes, you find out the schedule for the buses, and sometimes you have students either coming to class 10, 15 minutes late, or they're waiting 3 hours before their class. So it inconveniences a lot of people, and it is something that just, it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be fixed. And that's why we're so passionate about it, and that's why it's a huge part of our Southwestern platform.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a kind of philosophical question, because the NDP is very well known for standing up for social justice, for mm-hmm. rights, not so much for, I guess, what people would call the kitchen table issues, you know, the budget and financials and infrastructure and all that. I mean, it's an incorrect assumption, I mean, given that we have NDP governments across the country in Alberta and BC and had them in Manitoba in the past, PEI. How do you figure, where's the balance, do you think? Like, or, you know, how is there anything, is there any convincing there that you think? Or?
Yeah, and I think it's just education. I think it's an assumption that what comes to mind for some is that the NDP is a socialist party, that it's a break off from communism, and that's not true at all. We're a party that has capital interests, which is probably, you know, we very much so, and we have a fully costed platform, and this is why, particularly in this election, we released our platform early. We costed everything. We made that available to the public. We did so with our dental care plan and our hydro plan first in advance before running out the entire platform. I encourage people to go online and download the full one. The last 10 pages or so is the entire fiscal responsibility. And unfortunately, there was the issue with a piece of the platform that was miscalculated as revenue and not as a spending expense. But as I mentioned before, good leadership is admitting a mistake, and mm-hmm. good leadership is also adjusting to that issue, and we have adjusted accordingly, and we are still committed to following through with everything that we've said and to balancing the budget. So this has not changed, and we've adjusted for the hiccup.
$1.4 billion hiccup.
Yeah, at least it wasn't almost $6 billion.
Well, isn't that what Kathleen Wynne was saying?
Yeah.
I thought that
billion.
Was...
$7 billion. It kept going up daily.
Yeah, I thought it was
rich. $100 billion.
Yeah. They're at $11 billion now.
11, yes.
Yeah. They said six, and it was... So I thought that was a little rich, but yeah. It's fine. It's fair. It's fair.
Inflation.
It's,
yeah.
what do you think you... Or what do you worry is maybe going to be an overlooked issue in this election? What do you want people to keep in mind?
I think I want people to keep in mind that government and democracy is about electing a team of people and a team of individuals to sit around a table to get things done. And I kind of am starting to become a little concerned about how much individualism is happening in this election. Like, I will do this, I will do that, I will be a champion for this or a champion for that. At the end of the day, everyone's going to have to sit around the table at Queen's Park and push on the issues that matter most. And I think it's very important to remember that the most push is going to come from a team. And I believe the way, this is one of the reasons why I really like the NDP, is behind the scenes how much we support each other as candidates. Like, I'm good friends with Sean Conway in Peterborough, Tara King. We talk to each other on a frequent basis. We support one another when we go to events. Candidates, Catherine Fife has been amazing to me, asking how I'm doing, offering me advice, and being a mentor as well. So I think that kind of support that you don't really see behind the scenes is so important to having a healthy party, first of all, but also it's long term, it's going to contribute to such healthy conversations in Queen's Park. And I'm happy that I'm a part of a party that recognizes that.
And this is another one we ask all the candidates, but what do you think people are going to be thinking about when they go into the voting booth 2 weeks from today?
I think they are going to have a tough decision. And I know for some people, they might already be considering this decision, but changing their view or changing their vote from something that they have always voted for, which is what I've heard at the door. I believe that people should vote with their heart and how they think. And unfortunately, we don't have proportional representation, and it is a part of our platform as well, because we would like to see every vote count and matter. But I still, because I'm, this is for me such a fundamental belief, I believe that voting, just the action of being able to do so in Canada and in Ontario, is such an amazing privilege that no matter what, I believe you could go and vote for the change that you want to see or the values that you believe in, and just do it. Like even if it might be a little uncomfortable this time around, it's still important to do so. I'm concerned that there might be some threats to our democracy, and the way a certain party is behaving right now is very alarming. So I encourage everyone to go out and vote and participate in this process.
It's a good message, but I think "just do it" is taken as a slogan.
Oh no, are they going to come after me and sue me?
Just do it again.
Well, Aggie, can you tell everyone where they can follow you or follow up with your campaign, where they can get more information?
Yes. Okay, we're located on 120 Wyndham Street North, right beside Dutch Toco downtown. Come in anytime. Grab a sign if you are so inclined and excited to participate in democracy. I'm on Facebook as well. You can find my page under Agnieszka Młynarz or AKMLYNARZ. And if you put AK Młynarz into Twitter, or if you put it into Instagram or Facebook, it'll all come up. We have all the same handles.
All right. Well,
You can follow me on Snapchat too.
Oh,
yeah. I'm hip with
the
kids.
You might be the only candidate on Snapchat.
Yeah, I think that's probably, we'll have to fact check that later. But,
Cutting edge.
Well, Aggie, thank you so much for coming in today. Good luck on the campaign trail, and we'll see what happens on June 7th.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to take our first break, because this is a longer show today, so we have two breaks. But we're going to take our first break, and then we're going to have Thomas Mooney come in, and we're going to chat about the Ontario Party and, the election and stuff. Yeah?
Keep on rolling.
You're listening to Open Sources here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph, Campus, and Community Radio.
That was Wake Up a Rebel by Ruben and the Dark from their album Arms of a Dream from 2010 on Arts and Crafts Records.
Arts and Crafts.
Good Canadian label.
A good old-fashioned Canadian label. Speaking of Wake Up a Rebel, we're here with Thomas Mooney.
Good afternoon.
I think it's I'm not sure how consciously we chose that music before you came in, but it seems to work, because people may recall you were on our show last August.
Yes.
Because you quite publicly resigned from running to be the PC candidate here. I want to go over the recent developments too, because you were running for the Ontario, the Alliance Party of Ontario.
That's right.
And now you are not, but you were running for the Ontario Party. Now, Jay Tissick, who we've also had on the show, is the leader of the Ontario Party.
That's
but
correct.
Not the Alliance Party.
That's right.
So how did this fissure erupt to?
Well, if you want to step back to what happened last fall, and some not very good things were happening And that's why I withdrew from seeking the nomination for the PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole stance right from the very beginning has been, we need something better.
Mm-hmm.
We need to rise above the corruption that we've been seeing throughout the many years of government and put our best foot forward. And I had that expectation of better moving in under the PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, as you can see, after I withdrew, the rest of the news, it's old news. Well, it's actually not so old news. It's still going on.
There is breaking news today, yeah.
And which led me, you know, at that point, I was actually done. I thought, you know what? I was totally disillusioned with politics.
Mm-hmm.
Very upsetting, personally. And I withdrew. I was done. But I was reached out by a few different parties. And Jay Tesick was the one who reached out to me. And he and I got along really well.
Mm-hmm.
We both have the same kind of views of the way, the direction that we see government should be. And that's the ground up type of government,
yeah.
Grassroots, developing everything from the people instead of somebody in some back room dictating to us what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led me to the Alliance Party, and I signed on, and we were moving forward. Unfortunately, there was a couple people that were in there that decided to go a little bit AWOL and did some... Well, we don't even really know exactly what they did. All I know is that they were going in against the party's constitution, which, again, mirrored to me what I was seeing in the PC party. And I just said, hang on here.
Mm.
We need to get this straightened out. And if we can't, we need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Tissick and a good number of the board members, they tried and they tried and they tried. But these two individuals just... they wouldn't come back into compliance with their own constitution. So we decided to move on, and now we have the Ontario Party.
Mm-hmm.
So does the Alliance Party still officially exist? I get the impression that it's just kind of gone.
Well, the board dissolved it, but these two people that were in key positions, the CFO and the president, they decided just to... I honestly don't know what they're doing because... They're going it alone, and, well, they're going in a direction that is not the grassroots driven. And if they're going against the rules already, we just can't go there. And we deserve something better for Ontario. And that was the whole point of developing the Alliance at the time. The Constitution was written rock solid to prevent this kind of thing. And even though it was written rock solid, these two decided to still just ignore the fact that they were doing something wrong and continue on.
Mm-hmm.
So we weeded out the bad and we stepped foot forward now. And now we're the Ontario Party and the reset button is on the way.
Yeah.
So... You are as much in the dark as anybody is that about what's going on. There was no communication with you or your campaign.
We kept reaching out, nothing.
Yeah, because they haven't responded to press questions either about why.
Well, I can only speculate, and it wouldn't be fair for me to do that.
Sure.
I wasn't party to a lot of what the inside stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But for me... If it doesn't smell like a rose, it smells like something else. There's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather, if that's the case, okay, let's put it on the table. Let's see what the problem is. If we can fix it, fix it. If not, I'm here for the people first.
Right.
Party, no party. After this happened with the Alliance, I immediately registered as an independent because my priority is Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to speak for the people of Guelph first. And party second.
Mm.
Now, the people I was working with, the good part of the Alliance, which is now the Ontario Party, we're all working together as individuals with a common idea. We feed off each other. We hear what people are saying in different areas, coming up with good ideas, And we bring that to our own area. And we talk to our community about those too. And it seems that right across this province, everybody has the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the issues that we need to be paying attention to instead of, again, that back room.
Right. I do want to ask about that, though. The idea of grassroots representation and, you know, maybe the leaders having too much influence. I wonder if that is like the undercurrent, like the unreported story this election, and whether your experience, and not just your experience, but I mean, there were PC members across the province who had negative experiences running as their candidate. Is this like, I mean, it's not the biggest issue of the election, but I feel like it's probably one of the biggest issue that isn't part of the conversation.
Well, it is. Just recently, Dave Levesque, the Speaker of the House, stood up and he told the truth. And this is exactly where I'm coming from. He stood up and said, as soon as you elect these people, mm-hmm. they lose their voice.
Mm.
So instead of me going down to the polling station and choosing the local PC candidate, why isn't it Doug Ford on the ballot? Mm. Why isn't it Andrew Horvath on the ballot instead of the local candidate? Why? It just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
If the moment that person is elected, all the power goes to Toronto or to Hamilton, wherever their leader is,
mm.
then we're electing a dictator. We're not electing representatives anymore. Ray Ferraro, I like the man. He just recently came out in the newspaper article that he was saying the same thing. A vote for me is kept casting the vote for Rob Ford. He won't have a say.
Mm.
So here we have a Liberal, a PC, they're saying the same thing. The NDP, their policies are the same way. So who are we electing? We're electing somebody else to have control so that you here in Guelph don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm. You have to appreciate his honesty, though.
It was very refreshing. And, you know, there's a lot of candidates and sitting MPPs that want to speak out.
Mm.
Behind the scenes, they are speaking out. They're talking amongst friends in confidence, and that's what's led to where we are today with parties like the Alliance. There's parties, the Trillium, there's the none of the above. People are getting fed up with not having true representation.
Mm.
They can call you into their office, they sit down, they sit there and they smile and they nod, and it's like, yep, then you got a good point, and it goes nowhere.
Right.
And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, like I think we're up to 28 parties now in Ontario, and about 17 or 18 of them have Ontario in the name. So you guys are the Ontario Party. I don't think a lot of the listeners are maybe familiar with the Ontario Party. So can you give us a couple of the key points, key planks about them? Because it's a very fresh thing on the scene, I think.
It is.
Especially in Guelph.
It is very new. It was literally, I think it was conceived 2 days before the closing of Elections Ontario Rules.
Was that new?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that at all.
Well, that was the name, going under that name.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal started over a year ago, which led into the original Ontario Alliance. So the planning and this has been in the works for a long period of time. And the basic foundations of the Ontario Party are based on Canada's own constitution of rights and freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And their catch tag is bringing Ontario back. There's been a lot of people making jokes about bringing it back to the old times. Well, no, it's bringing it back to what we were originally founded on of fairness and equality and proper treatment and by government.
Mm-hmm.
Government was never designed to be a dictatorship, which is what it's become with these toe-of-the-party-line politics. It's supposed to be you elect your local representative so they can represent you. That's what it's there for.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so far from that today.
Mm-hmm. Let me phrase it this way. You know, I think what you said makes a lot of sense to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, you turn on the news and, you know, even the local news here, you know, what's the top story? It's about what Andrew Horvath is doing. It's what Doug Ford is doing and Kathleen Wynne. sometimes Mike Schreiner. How do we have an election that's based on the ideas of the individual candidates when even the media focuses on the leader?
We have been conditioned for years into this. These are the way things are. I'm to this day, I still keep getting emails from people, why are you bothering? You're not going to change it. It's just the way it is. Mm. Well, as long as people keep thinking that way, you're right, nothing will change. It takes one person or one party or one group of people to finally stand up and say, you know what, we've had enough and we want something different. We want something better. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for a higher quality of representation from the people. In essence, I should not be working for the government. I should be working for the people. But today, it's the other way around.
I wanted to talk about some issues too. Not that this isn't an issue, but the stuff we're campaigning on. But we're going to have Paul Taylor from None of the Above in next. He's talked about workers' rights, workers' safety. That's your background too. In terms of truck safety, you're an inspector too. I'm wondering too if this is another one of these overlooked issues, and it seems to be a one of the rare bipartisan issues that we can all agree that people are working in some pretty unsafe conditions out there.
It is true. A lot of it, our government is doing very good at, is bringing the attention to the forefront, but more needs to be done in empowering the employee. I have personally seen situations where an employee raises an issue to their immediate supervisor, and they're almost looked at sideways in a way of, well, you know, if you bring that issue up, it's going to reflect on you bad down the road.
Right.
That attitude has to change. That is what we have to completely change in the system, so that people are secure in knowing that if they raise a red flag, that they're not going to lose their job over it, or they're not going to get the next promotion. We should be rewarding those people, because if they've done something to prevent an injury or prevent a serious incident, we should be rewarding them from the employer's point of view, because if something serious did happen to that employee, what would it be costing the employer then? Let's fix it before it happens, instead of trying to repair it afterwards.
Yeah, it seems like such a matter of short-term vision that, it might cost us today, but we're not thinking about what it's going to cost us tomorrow. But, I mean, that's also part of the business picture, too. And I didn't get a chance to ask Aggie this, but it's about sort of changing that business culture, too, because I think we're kind of deferential to the private business, because if we go after a business too hard, we go after, especially if they're bigger, and something like Lindemar, let's say, not that there's any specific accusations about safety against them, but, we're talking about a private business that employs thousands of people. There's a real fear, even among politicians, that, you might drive someone away and business might move somewhere where, a politician might be less picky, I guess.
Well, we do have employers in Guelph that their safety records are fantastic. They go above and beyond to make sure that there's no possible way that their employees will be hurt or injured, to the point where sometimes the employees are saying, you're going overboard. I applaud those employers for the simple rate. It's like, yeah, you know, it might be overboard, but you're going to go home tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to see your family.
Yeah.
And you're still going to bring home your paycheck at the end of the week.
No one's been hurt by too much safety.
That's right. I can't say it any better than that.
Maybe I should run.
That's a great idea, Adam.
Welcome.
What are we going to do here?
You'd have a fantastic voice.
Oh, well, thank you. But let's keep talking about you. one of the things I'm interested in about the Ontario Party platform is this idea of regional balance. And we talked about this previously, but you mentioned how it seems like across the province, concerns are the same, but the Ontario Party is very much focused on coming up with regional solutions. Does this translate into, in the event of an Ontario party government, would that translate into more powers for cities and less power for the province, or is that a little specific?
Well, here's the best way to describe it.
Okay.
After this provincial election, we have another election coming up, our municipal.
Right.
Right here in the city, and you know, just using Guelph as the example, we are going to be electing our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They are directly involved in knowing exactly what's happening here in the city of Guelph. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens, happens at their chambers.
Mm-hmm.
The province, we should be there as a support mechanism for our municipalities,
mm-hmm.
coming to the city of Guelph and saying, what is it you need from us? How can we help?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it seems to be the other way around, where the city's having to go to the province and say, and begging, you know, we want, can you help us? Can you help us?
Right.
That's what we're here for. That's what the provincial level is for, and going the next step, federal as well. Why are we putting all these red blocks, all these obstacles in the way when we already have a government established? That's what the Ontario Party wants to be able to do, is turn government upside down, mm-hmm. so that we already recognize the tools that are in place instead of duplicating them over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would be saving money at the top end, so there's more available for the bottom end.
What does that look like practically?
Well, quite literally, it would be less oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I said, we already have elected leaders. They've made their decisions on the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the province second-guessing that?
Right.
That's not what our job is supposed to be. We should be looking after provincial highways, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the region doesn't have to look at that. But things like our roads here, our sewers, water, transportation, we should be there to support instead of, well, we'll see if we can get to you this year. No, that's not the way it should be. It should be driven from the community. The community's paying taxes here an awful lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep some of that here.
Mm-hmm.
And through regional representation and regional supported government, more of that taxes would be staying here.
Mm-hmm. It just makes me think, too, because Ray Ferraro seems to have made the Wellington County, the government of Wellington County, kind of an arch nemesis to Guelph. And so in the way he's phrasing in some of the debates, practically, though, I mean, there is some kind of conflict there because Guelph is the biggest part of Wellington County, but some things are done through Wellington County. You know, it's not entirely, I don't think his attitude is entirely unjustified, but it does seem.
There is past issues that between the county and the city that
sure.
have happened. I wasn't party to a lot of that, but I've heard of many of the stories. And what I understand is a lot of it came down to us and them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is Guelph is within the county of Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot more resource here that the county relies on. We share those responsibilities, and we need to be open to recognizing that. It's not about us and them. Like, we're all the same.
Right.
Just because there's a line down the middle of the road doesn't mean that you can't cross it. For considering healthcare and ambulances,
sure.
which is one of the issues that was raised in the past.
Yeah.
If we rely on ambulances here in Guelph, but you take a drive out of town, say you go up to Alora to go through the shops up there, it's the same ambulances are going to look after you. So do you want to draw that line and prevent them from coming up to look after somebody from Guelph?
Mm.
Or is it just because that somebody from Fergus, maybe, that's over in Laura? Mm. That's wrong. We need to be looking after all of us equally.
Mm-hmm. We've got to, unfortunately, start winding up, but time flies.
Already? Wow.
Yeah, I know, time flies. But is there a particular issue you're worried that might be overlooked in this campaign, all the stuff going on?
The number one, it's coming back to the same thing, and I think community is really starting to recognize this is we need a voice for Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
We need somebody who is free to represent the people here. And what I'm bringing in my campaign to run as your next MPP is I recognize there's ideas that are good that come right across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're liberal, NDP, conservative, or none of the above. I don't laugh because, you know, we all have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why all of these various parties are there. I would like to be able to bring all of these ideas, the good ones that can be made better.
Mm-hmm.
And as a community, we agree that, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's move forward instead of saying, no, I can't take your idea because I didn't think of it. That's your party, mm-hmm. and this is my party. Again, right. That line down the middle of the road. We can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to move forward.
Of course, the Liberals have been kind of freely stealing from the NDP the last couple of years.
Well, it all comes back to we have to pay for it in the end.
Right.
I look after my household, and actually I was somebody spoke against this the other day, that the government isn't running like a house. Well, you know what? We should be. Because we run the debt out, we run the debt up today,
mm-hmm.
so much that we can't pay for it in my lifetime. Well, my kids are going to have to pay for that, and their grandchildren, but they're going to have their bills of the day as well on top of our debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's building a card house that cannot sustain itself. We have to get everything in balance. And that's what my campaign is about, is bringing balance back to Ontario.
I have a counter analogy to that, but unfortunately we don't have time. But I will ask you, what do you think people are going to be thinking about when they vote 2 weeks from today?
In reality,
mm-hmm.
From what I've been hearing, is a lot of people are closing their eyes and picking.
Mm.
And it's really scary. I've heard of what other candidates have been saying, that, oh, it's been all positive. It's not. people are so fed up, and they're people have hope. They have hope of something good,
mm-hmm.
but we have to have a good picture of hope, but come back to reality of where we are today.
Right.
And the only thing that I can ask people to do is take a good, strong look at the big picture across the board and who's going to best be able to represent you mm-hmm. at Queen's Park. And that's today and for our future.
Well, Tom Mooney, we appreciate your candor and we appreciate your willingness to run in spite of party political drama. How can people learn more about you or get in touch with you or learn more about the campaign?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I do have a page set up there, Thomas Mooney Campaign. My personal page is there, and by all means, please connect with me as a friend. Send me a message if you have questions. Reach me through there. I do have a phone number on there as well that goes straight to an answering machine that I personally will respond, and I've been actually quite busy with that. A good part of my mornings have been just that lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm very much about hearing from the people and what they need, because that's what we're supposed to be for.
Well, good luck on the campaign trail, and keep up the good work, and we'll see what happens.
Just 2 weeks away.
Just 2 weeks away. 14 more sleeps. we're going to take our second break, an unusual second break for Open Sources, but then we'll be right back with Paul Taylor of None of the Above. You are once again listening to Open Sources Guelph. You're on CFIU 93.3 FM, CFIU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
That was the Unknown Mortal Orchestra. We thought they were Canadian, but it turns out they're from New Zealand. So they're Commonwealth.
Are they
anyway.
In New Zealand?
Yeah. The album's called Sex and Food 2018, brand new, on Jaguar Records. So
I didn't know they were New Zealand. I thought they were Canada. I thought they had the maple leaf next to it.
Yeah,
on the
they do that,
chart.
Don't they? Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're from New Zealand.
Get the music director in here at once!
Yes.
All right.
We'll deal with that later.
Yeah, that's an after-the-show problem. so we are now pleased to be joined by Paul Taylor of the None of the Above Party. Paul, how are you?
Nifty. How about you?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
What made you decide to want to run for office?
To be totally honest, I didn't really want to say it at the debate, but now I guess I'm at the point where I just don't care anymore. So what it was I didn't want to offend anybody, but now, geez, I got a terrible voice for radio, don't I? I apologize
no,
for that.
No, doing great.
I know I got a face for radio, right, as they say. But sorry. The reason why was that I'd started the injured worker group in Wellington, Dufferin, but mainly out of Guelph, right? Because I live in Guelph, right?
Makes sense.
And the provincial group had asked me, well, they asked me to start the group. And then just before heading into the election, they asked all the group members to contact their MPP and meet with them and explain what the Workers' Comp as a Right campaign was, is trying to fight for injured workers' rights and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had met with the former MPP, Liz Sandals. Sorry, She's probably going to beat me up soon. She can take me. I know she can. I seen her because she's got that. She was giving me the evil eye.
She's tall.
I know. Yeah. I was afraid. That's why I didn't want to say anything, because I can say it now because she's not here, right? Seriously, she's just going to kick my, you know.
You're not in the book, are you? You're not in the phone book, are you? She can find you.
Yeah, she can. She's the government, man. They can find. They can find you. They can. Seriously. Oh, my God. Now, where did I go? I have ADD, by the way, so I figure I'd be perfect in the legislature for Guelph, right?
Sure.
You know, they'd be talking about one thing, and I'd go off into left field. But, you know, I'd be fighting for the people, you know what I mean? Like, it's the most important. Oh, yeah, by the way. I did it, didn't I? I'm sorry. I was asked to go to Liz Sandals and meet with her and explain the whole campaign as much as I could remember. And I got an email from her saying, no, she
like
can't.
A flat out no, or just I can't really make it at this time?
No, she said no, I couldn't meet with her because I was suing the WSIB. Another long story, but.
Oh, wow.
I'm having fun in the courts. When I go into the courts now, the judges look at me and go, oh, God, no, not him again. Because it's actually fun to start, you know, probably the one thing in my life that I found the most empowering was learning my rights as a Canadian. Mm. We actually do have rights. We really do. They're not just pieces of paper with words on them,
mm-hmm.
that you can actually throw them down and you'll see judges and lawyers and people go, holy crap, this guy actually, or this woman knows what they're talking about, right? And in that way, it was fun. And I'm going through that process. And that's what I realized was, as I had heard Greg on, crap.
This is Greg Vizina, who's the founder.
Yeah,
he's been on this.
We
had him on the show, the federal election, I think, wasn't that?
I think it was a provincial by-election.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he's been on, friend of the show.
He started the party in 2014. I guess he was frustrated, too. He had been in politics since, well, let's just say he had told me a story about him streaking in Toronto back in the 70s or something. I don't know. I don't remember the whole story, but I told him that if we won, we would streak in front of the Queen's Park, or Greg would streak in front of Queen's Park to the candidates to encourage them to win. So let's everybody vote for None of the Above
right
to see
on.
Some naked guy running across the lawn. Oh, who's that? That's our premier. So, yeah, let's just do it for a hoot, right?
But that's as good a reason I can think to vote for anyone.
Yeah, really. You know what I mean? This guy's daring. He wants to just take it all. Of course, mind you, you know what I mean? I'm just visualizing that and thinking maybe that's not such a good idea. Well. If you want a comedy show, maybe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to get kicked off the party by the end of the year, most guaranteed. If I don't get voted in, I'm getting kicked out. But, I saw him on TV, and he was explaining the party platform, which was very simplistic. And it just almost collided perfectly. It was almost like I wrote the party platform. I mean, he did, but it felt like I did, which was that, In politics, I know a lot of people start to fall asleep right now when somebody says that. But generally speaking, when you vote for a candidate, people in Guelph think they're voting for somebody to represent Guelph. But in actuality, it's the other way around. You're voting for a Liberal who's going to sit in Guelph. And when they vote for stuff, they're voting for the Liberal Party, not for Guelph. I have always thought, in a twisted way, like most normal people, the other way around, where when you vote for a candidate, you're voting for them to represent your area. And when you have a problem, whether it be workers' comp or Ministry of Labor or the courts or whatever, I mean, it seems like the government is just so much fun to deal with that they'll fight for you in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 20 years in dealing with politicians, I find they tend to not really listen to you.
Mm.
Well, unless you're a big business owner, president or something. What do they say? They can buy time with the premier or the prime minister?
Mm.
Didn't Justin Trudeau say something like that? I can't remember. But I was kind of frustrated by that fact that I just wanted to meet with my lonely little MPP, not the premier or the prime minister. And it was like, no. So, and he was talking about how he wants to end this partisan politics where when a party gets into, like if we, for some weird reason, voted the Liberals again, you never know, because the last election going in, everybody said she's out, she's done, she's finished, put it to bed, and
I've
she
been
came
saying
back.
That through this whole thing.
And yeah, and she won by majority, so let's not count the Liberals out. You know, they can be very sly. Oh, sorry. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
Well done. Well done.
It's up there now.
I know. Can you hit the bleep button?
Unsay.
No, it doesn't work.
I know. I know. I'm naughty, right?
That's a good one.
Yeah. So they can.
Everybody
you
gets one.
Yeah. I get more than one, I think. Well, I'm one and a half person, so I get one and a half, right? Actually, they're charging more on airplanes now or something, right? If you're a bigger person, they charge you more?
Yeah, some airlines, sure.
What's next? They're going to charge you by the pound? Oh, my God, that's scary.
That might happen.
No, let's. Yeah, I know. That's scaring me for sure. I don't know about you, but it's scaring the hell out of me. Oops.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they'll get you.
I know.
Those airlines.
But, yeah, so then I seen his party platform, and like I was saying, like I said, I'm very bad. I'm a worst interviewer because I'm all over the place, right? But
we're having fun.
Good
we're
so
having
far,
fun.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. That's great. Okay, just stop me at any time or slap me or whatever. That's what my ex-wife used to do.
Oh my goodness. Well, we won't get into that.
It was fun, though. No.
Oh my goodness.
I know I'm bad, aren't I? So
the CRTC are knocking at the door. By the way, yeah.
Can you imagine me in the legislature? Especially when I have an issue? Oh, my God.
Mm.
Well,
yeah.
There are some characters in the legislature.
Oh, not as bad as me, though.
Although, I love the fact that above Zanonovda is running for the none of the above
party.
Oh,
you're talking
have
about...
Have you run into...
I
don't know his real name, but...
Like, we had a candidate party... I mean, a get-together. Sorry,
oh,
not a
yeah,
party.
Yeah.
Like, a get-together.
Yeah.
And unfortunately...
The party had a party.
Yeah, the party had a party. Unfortunately, Linda in Hamilton, the candidate in Hamilton, she was holding it.
Linda in Hamilton.
What?
Is that her name?
Yeah. No.
Linda N. Hamilton above Zanonovda.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You know, if you look at the candidates
in
the website, nota.ca, and you go through the list... Honestly, I think Greg did it deliberately, and he picked some pretty wild people, right? Like, fun.
And Adam Nobody is running, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yes. No, maybe.
Adam Nobody?
I don't know.
I thought he was on the list. I thought he was on your approved list, who was beaten at the G20 by
I heard
the governor.
That. Lou Shizov, I'm terrible with his name, and he taught me in Sheridan College. He taught what he talks about, finance. He was a
business department.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Business and economics, I think it's the official title.
I think the
heat's
getting to my brain. It's melting it.
It's one of those days,
finance, and he does the financial spot on AM, should I say the radio? AM, the one in Toronto, the AM radio, and they talk. Yeah, so at any rate, he did a plug, and I heard him talking to the news guy, and it was funny, he talked about that guy, the, what was it you said?
Above Zanonovda?
No, the other one.
Adam Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. And I couldn't believe he says the guys actually changed their name. If you go on, he has his driver's license with, he did Zed, and this is funny now, so he could get none of the above on the bottom of the ballot, right?
Yep. Mm.
Now, I'm going to give everybody a nice little surprise. I could be wrong. I have been known to be wrong just once or twice.
Okay.
And that is that when I check the ballot, because you go to the Ontario Elections website thingamabob and click on candidates, and you'll see the names and all the names of the candidates, and it goes in alphabetical order.
You're on the bottom.
Yep.
You must be. Yeah, there you go.
So there you go. Let's so when you look check. At all
the... MT. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, he's checking.
I'm fact checking.
So, two M's, T.
No, he is at the bottom. None of the above.
S. Yep.
So when you're looking through the list and you're not really sure and you want to spoil your ballot, don't just click none of the above.
And that's
you
why
go.
You're the person for Guelph. That's
one.
That worked out really well.
They said 33% are undecided right now.
Yeah.
And then they said 50% aren't even going to vote. That's worse.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
And I think part of the problem with that is that people don't realize that they actually have a better choice. You know, I'm not going to plug Thomas. He's a great guy, but I guess I'm just going to plug him right now. And I'm going to say that even if you voted for Thomas or me or the other smaller, what did they say, fringe parties?
They say fringe. I like to say third party, although that doesn't make much sense here. But
how about the other better parties?
The choices.
Yeah, I know.
The slate.
Alternative choices.
Alternative choices. Yeah. That's good. Alternative like that, means that I do weird things, which actually I think I do. So that might fit.
Okay, how about
category.
Alternate? Alternate.
Yeah.
There we go.
Alternate.
I would say smaller, but then you look at, I was saying to Thomas there, it's either Libertarian or Alliance. They have something like 120-odd candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg, he's done phenomenal work with our party, the None of the Above. He went from, what was it, 5 or 6 in 2014, which is the last election when he first started it, to 42. Before the closing of ballots, he had 70. And then on May 18th, he was down to 42.
Hmm.
So we're not sure what happened there.
That's still fairly high.
That's a lot for an alternative party, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a conspiracy that some ran that really weren't running, you know what I mean, from the other parties that kind of slipped in to take the... Because Greg is... One of his conditions is, unlike the other big parties, is that you actually have to live in the riding.
Mm.
And Lou... I remember distinctly listening to his radio program one day. Well, not his radio program, but his spot. And him making fun of the MPP for Oakville, who didn't live in Oakville. And I can't remember who it was, and it was a while ago. So, but yeah, I was like, you know what? That's actually a very relevant point. And here's a little tidbit of fun information. John Torrey, I guess I shouldn't have said his name, but
no, it's okay.
He was an MPP for Orangeville when I used to live in Shelburne.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the radio being interviewed, and he was talking about transit when he was the leader of the Conservatives in Ontario. And he actually said Orangeville didn't have transit. He goes, like my riding in Orangeville that doesn't have transit. And I went, well, what? Yeah, it does. It's not the greatest. I mean, it doesn't have 700 routes or anything.
Right.
And they don't have the big fancy buses like Guelph.
But it's not Uber or Zero. It's...
Well, yeah.
Like they actually have transit.
Yeah, it actually says Orangeville Transit.
Oh, buses,
and they have stops. So, I mean, it's not the greatest, but I was like, you know.
It's like he's not there then.
No. Yeah. Well, he shows up every once in a while. Hey, how's it going? That's about it, right? So I was like, that is a big issue, right? Like, okay, yeah, I wasn't born in Guelph. I've driven through it for many years because I drove truck, right? Going the, you know, running down the handler, red light. Oh, love this, right? You know, and then I figured the back roads, the country back roads to get around Guelph. Oh, thank God. It's not that I didn't like Guelph. It's just the stop signs. So rumor has it, you know, rumor has it that Guelph is supposed to be getting the Hanlon extension thingamabob, you know, going where it goes up north, who knows? It'll be a nice big surprise for us. But forewarning that the 410 highway back in, well, let me go further back in time, because we always got to remember when we're doing our politics, we got to remember. And unfortunately, my memory is terrible, so you haven't got much to go on. But when they did the 403, if you go to Mississauga, 403, 407 interchange there, I remember way, way, way back, it would be back when I was 19, 20, something like that, because there was these overpasses built and no roads, no highway.
Right.
And it was the extension of the 403 was supposed to go out to Hamilton or Brantford or something, I don't know. And then the government came into power, and I believe it was the PCs, and they canceled the highway project. So it was mid-stride. They literally had these overpasses there. It was a great place to make out, too. Sorry. Oops. No. It was. It was. It was great. It was secluded. It was perfect. I know. I did. I'm sorry. But
no, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is literally the type of things we would not get from the other candidates.
No. Thomas was cool.
I heard him.
You guys were laughing.
Yeah, no.
I like Thomas. He's cool. If I win, you know, and they said, who do you, I'd say, yeah, he can be my assistant MPP
deputy.
Or whatever.
Deputy MPP.
Is there such a thing? I don't know.
You could start it.
Yeah,
sure.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, they get, do you know how much an MPP gets?
Not off the
a
top
salary?
Of my head.
I checked. Close, I was like, holy crap.
Close to 2K, right?
No, you're actually highballing it, but I like that. $135,000 a year, and that's only just when you elect them. Now, I think I'm just killing myself here because I just said that much. But if you sit on committees and crap and you sit on cabinet, they get even more.
Yeah.
And it's not like...
I'm thinking the premier maybe. It's at least two, right?
Probably there's levels. If you're a backbencher, you get the 137. But if you're
which
cabinet,
isn't too shabby.
Parliamentary
sunshine
secretary,
list
cabinet.
Territory. Yeah.
Oh, it's beyond sunshine list. It's into the hitting the sun
solar
list.
System list, yeah.
Yeah, I know. when they sit on other committees too, they get paid that salary.
Yeah.
It's not like when you're at work and the boss says, I need you to pull some extra overtime. And you're like, well, do I get paid for it? And he's like,
in pizza. Yeah. We'll get a pizza.
Pizza party.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Pizza party.
Pizza is the.
I always thought it was great until I realized I wasn't getting paid for the time. Oh, thanks. But that's another big thing that I'm fighting for. The thing I like about the party is that the candidates can advance their own issues as well as the local issues. So local issues, in my view, and every single candidate I've talked to in the party says the same thing, which is that the local issues must come first over anything else. And that's the beautiful thing is if somebody said, well, okay, fine, then what about the party? No, the party says the local issues come first. So meaning, for example, if the government turns around and says, we're going to cancel the highway expansion for the Hannah. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, you know what I mean, with the fear-mongering or anything, because I'm not a real politician, so I don't know how to do that, right?
Sure.
But like I said, they did the 403 thing,
right.
And that was stopped, and then it turned into a toll road.
Yeah.
And then also the 410 going through Brampton, a lot of people don't know, that was actually supposed to go north to Highway 9, to Orangeville. Mm. And that didn't. It kind of just stopped, and they went, oops. And it was like they took an eraser and
it
said
turns
no.
into a country road up there, right? At some point, it's just one lane.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
and that's more and more a well-worn road between Orangeville and Brampton, too. That's kind of a direct to get into the GTA.
Well, what they did was is instead of making it the 410 highway, which it was going to be, they just brought the 410 over to Highway 10 and said, okay, that's it. So when Brampton grows, because it probably will, they're going to be pooch. Well, here in Ontario, they widen and they move Caledon, Caledon there, 124 in here in Ontario. They move the buildings, the community center or whatever. I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been cool. I'm weird like that. I like watching weird stuff. The one thing I've never seen and I want to see is those tower cranes getting erected. I'm stealing all my time, aren't I? I'm wasting. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
You're looking
It's my job. I'm the clock watcher and Adam's the...
Really?
He's the pulse of the machine.
Do you find your day drags on? Watch on the clock all the time.
We have a deadline.
No, it's... Sorry.
It's okay.
No,
so
it's not at all.
I know, totally I keep fine. Saying sorry. I'm Canadian, eh?
Yes, 100%.
You know what? Let's... You open it up for this. You know, the local candidate...
Sorry.
The local candidate in your party gets to decide what the issues he wants to discuss are. So what are the issues you want to discuss?
Well, like, for example, I will guarantee – well, you know what I mean. When I say guarantee, I'm not going to say I promise like all the other politicians.
Sure.
Because let me put it in a different perspective. I'm not living in Toronto. I don't plan on living in Toronto. I plan to hop it on that GO train at 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my God. And then taking the subway up to whatever it's called, Queen's Park or whatever.
It's Queen's Park Station,
Oh, it is? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, you're great for us.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you know where you're going? Yeah, really. But my point is so when people say, have you taken the GO train? Like, you know what I mean? It's only three down and three up. Like, how good? And I'll go, yeah, I know. I do it, right?
Yeah.
And when I drive around Guelph and it's like, yeah, okay, it's great that they started sort of maybe possibly doing some highways around here. And then they kind of went, not really. Mm. I always used to laugh, not at Guelph. I'm talking about laughing at the design of the highways in Ontario. It's like I used to say, it's like, well, actually, I'm not going to say that now because every time I say something, I offend somebody. Did you like my fat kid joke? Apparently, I'm insensitive to fat kids. And I'm like, Well, I'm a fat kid.
Was this at the debate or something?
No, it was somebody posted online.
Ah.
When who was it? Guelph Today. That's a great media. I love it. I'm like, man, you guys should do paper form or something. But I think
bringing back paper. Yes.
No, they're kicking it new school, I guess you call it, modernizing.
Yeah.
See, so I'm sorry, I'm off on a transit or tant.
We were off on a transit tangent.
Yeah,
that's
transit
fine.
Tangent. Yeah. I don't even know anymore. I've lost it. But yeah, so the Hanlon, like, to me, that's very close and dear to me because I do use the roads here every day. And mm-hmm. And it is extremely frustrating living in Guelph, seeing that, you know, you're flying along and all of a sudden red light, and then the transport's in front of you and you got to wait for them to get up to speed again.
Right.
And it's like, to me personally, I think not only should it be an expressway, as it was probably planned 30, 40 years ago. I bet you if you dig deep into the archives, you'll probably find it was.
Well, it's in the name, right? Hanlon Expressway.
Well, that's, no, it
should be in quotes,
can, no,
right?
You can't, no, you quotes? Can't, no, you can't do that because, you know, there's many roads. This is Ontario. We don't work that way.
Expressway.
Yeah. Not only should it have overpasses, it should be widened to three lanes each way, up and down, right? Mm. So because, you know, I'm not criticizing transport trucks, because if I did, I would be I was a transport truck driver. So I mean, the cars want to get out there and hammer down and get in the left lane and pass, right? And I think with the volume of traffic, it should as well be widened to six. Also, the GO train service should be all day now, not in 5-10 years. The other issue I heard about, which I loved, you know, I was just like, and I mentioned my daughter at the hospital. She's probably going to kill me. I noticed she was calling me on the phone to yell at me, don't tell that story, when she broke her arms. Mm-hmm. It's not, and I want to make this very, very, very clear. The doctors and nurses in Ontario are the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm biased, I'm sorry, but it's true.
Right.
I've never come across a mean doctor or a nurse. And even at Guelph, they were incredible. I was there once when there was this whacked out person, like on drugs or whatever, and the nurse was super professional about the whole situation.
That's every day, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
you know, it's
day.
Actually,
seriously.
You know what, seriously, that's another issue, which is the drugs. It's becoming epidemic, like especially in small towns. And it's to the point where people need to wake up and realize, oh, geez, you just threw me off onto another subject.
No, that's okay. You have time.
Oh, my God.
One more question from Adam, though.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam.
No.
Just give me a slap if I'm off track.
Just like
a record skipping, right? Smack. Okay, he's back on.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for even some smacking, but...
we're going to get kinky. Sorry.
If you want to tell people where they can learn more about you, your platform, how they can get in touch with you.
If they want to take that chance, yeah.
If they want to take the chance.
Because once you start to learn about me, oh my God, you'll be like, oh my God, I'm demented now, I'm twisted. But yeah, I actually set up a website on my own, and I apologize now because I'm not a web designer or anything, and it's quite a mess, is voteforpaul.ca. Yes.
Okay.
Or you can check out the main party website that has all the good party stuff. Not like a party like with alcohol and those other things.
Not a good party, but
no,
a good party.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, I should actually mention that to Greg. I did say that to him, that we should have a party.
Yeah.
If we win. I think we will, because he said...
Is that where the streaking will happen?
Yes. He said if I actually won, he would be my... So I'm like, ooh, that's great. So I really hope I do get elected, because I will make him do things that Guelph will really enjoy. Because he lives in Mississauga, and we really want to dump on Mississauga, right, as Guelph?
I see.
Yes.
That cross-town rivalry thing. Yeah,
everything, every which way. I mean, Mississauga had a good mayor, a great mayor, Hazel, you know what I mean? But she's gone now, so Mississauga's gone. It's done. So he lives there, and I just want to...
What a place to leave it on. But Paul Taylor, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been fun. And
I'm sorry
on the
for
campaign.
No.
I mean, we didn't really even cover any issues, did we?
I think we covered a lot.
Oh, yeah,
ground.
I hope so.
Yes,
well, and like I said, if anybody does have any questions, they can always email me or call me. Mm-hmm. I don't have an 800 number. I can't afford that.
Besides, no, we can't either.
Yeah, no, really?
All right, so that is it for this week's Expanded Edition. We are hoping we'll be back at 4:30 next week for the last three candidates. We've definitely heard from Sly Castaldi. She will be in, and so will Libertarian candidate Mike Real. And don't forget our election night coverage. We will be in studio live to air on June the 7th at 8 p.m. to go over all the results, including the none-of-the-above victory/streaking party.
full coverage from us.
Fingers crossed. And you can stay connected to us at opensourcesguelph.com, Open Sources Newswire on Facebook, at OS_Guelph on Twitter. And you can find this and other past episodes of the show on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. I am on Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. And you can look me up at guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca.
Scott Hertz on Facebook, Scott Hertz on Twitter, spanderbook.wordpress.ca. There's a thing there. Mm-hmm. And you should read Adam's excellent blog in the Politico about things going on.
What a plug.
You know that thing about that thing? Read
what
that
a plug.
Thing.
Yeah. I think the extended editions made us crazy. Anyway, DJ Sounds Good to Me is here at the top of the hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. We'll be back next Thursday at 4:30 from our Open Sources. We'll see you then.